direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As you know, this is a great privilege always to bring these radio broadcasts to you. And one of the convictions that we have and that I have as a pastor is that we need a return to biblical expositional teaching and preaching of the Word of God. So Abounding Grace has been oriented around teaching the Word, expositing the Word that presents certain challenges in the short time that we have together, but to be reoriented to this, to see that this is where the power lies, in the Word of God. This Word is authoritative over our lives. It is transforming. It is the message of salvation, and it is the power of God to save. And so we need a great return again to preaching and teaching the Word. With that said, this week on Abounding Grace, we're continuing our study in the Gospel of John, and now we begin to unpack and look through the teaching and what Jesus says in the high priestly prayer. I want to read a little bit of that to you today. The first five verses is what we'll focus on this week of the high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Well, years ago, James Boyce, before preaching this prayer, said something that I believe is extremely important to remember as we attempt to explain and understand these beautiful words. He said, "This prayer should be something of what the burning bush was to Moses. For here we hear God speaking, and we should put off our shoes and bow humbly, being about ready to tread upon holy ground." We really are doing that this week as we unpack the high priestly prayer. And I'm not talking about just looking at this on the surface. I'm speaking of really thinking about the very words that Jesus Christ prayed to his heavenly Father. This is really the only place in Scripture that we have anything like it. Often we read that throughout the course of Jesus' earthly ministry that he went off and he prayed. In Mark chapter 1, we read, "In the morning, having risen long a while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. When all the people were baptized," we read later in one of the Gospels, "it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was open." Throughout the Gospels, we have these beautiful descriptions about Jesus rising up early and praying. And all that I ever knew about them was that they were used by pastors to bring about great conviction about how little people were praying in their own lives, and that we should just be like Jesus. Well, when I heard pastor's challenge about that, what I really wanted to know is, what was Jesus saying? No one ever unpacked that for me. No one ever explained that for me. What was that communion like between the eternal Son of God and his Father? What did he spend so much time saying to his Father while he was on the earth? What did he care about? What was on his mind? What did the agonizing prayer from his incarnate lips say? What did he express? Well, we get an answer to that in John chapter 17. And what we have before us this week is Jesus laying before his Father the great burden that was upon his heart, that he would go and be glorified, so that in that glory he would glorify his Father and again receive the glory that he had before the world was created. Why does God give us insight into this prayer? If you can picture the moment Jesus prays this in front of his disciples, we can imagine in connection with everything that we've studied in the Gospel of John, Jesus has just changed their sorrow to joy. But he knows that the hour has come and that the disciples have no idea how great the pain and sorrow will be that is about to overcome them when they see the Son of Man taken and murdered by God's people. After endless hours of teaching, all of a sudden Jesus pauses. He stops. And verse 1 tells us in chapter 17 that he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he prayed. Can you imagine that moment? Most likely with uplifted hands, he calls out to his Father with the most beautiful prayer ever made and offered under the sun. Can you imagine the beating hearts of his disciples listening so carefully? They needed to hear it, because this prayer ensured that everything that Jesus had been teaching them about his work of salvation was complete. This prayer was an assurance for them. As they would go forward, when they would look back on their sins and failures, they would remember that Jesus lifted up his eyes and that the Father heard this prayer. That is how they would go forward. So Jesus wanted them to know that everything he said was linked to heaven. All the promises, all the comfort, all the strengthening he gave had its efficacy, its certainty in the very plan of God that Jesus had come to fulfill, and that nothing could stop it. You know, there are absolutely no conditional sentences in this prayer. Jesus doesn't pray, "Lord, if they do this, then." What Jesus prays here is as good as done, completely and totally dependent upon him. And that means for us, this was a prayer demonstrating the grace of God. This becomes the seal of everything he said. And so now he prays for the fruits of his own work to be realized in those for whom he died. So this week on Abounding Grace, I want you to taste a little bit of the glory that the disciples heard that day, and that the Christian would be assured that whatever needed to be done for him to be saved, Jesus completed, that is here demonstrated in the high priestly prayer. There are three parts to this prayer. The first and shortest section, Jesus prays for himself in verses 1 through 5. Then Jesus prays for his disciples in verses 6 through 19. And then Jesus prays for future Christians in verses 20 through 26. This week, I want to look at just the first five verses of Jesus praying for himself. So let's look at verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." This hour has been on Jesus' mind his whole ministry. Remember back in chapter 12, he said that the hour had come that the Son of Man should be glorified. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Now that was the burden that was upon him. As soon as he said, "The hour has come," intense suffering in his soul had begun. This had always been going on in his earthly ministry. Jesus openly said in Luke's gospel, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished." You know, here it is. Jesus now was stepping up to deal with our sin. He was dealing with and facing the extreme wrath of God upon his soul for the Christian's sins. The horrid thought of it, the anticipation. He was being made an atonement for sin to blot out the curse of God and destroy the realm of darkness. Christ had to do this. But what do you hear in this section, in this prayer, but a bleeding heart, a heart in horror, in the constant thought and anticipation that he would have to face the wrath of God. In chapter 12, he said that, "My soul is thrown into intense agitation." The whole time of his incarnation, he had bore this awful anticipation of a suffering that we could never imagine. Knowing that he had to face the extreme wrath of God upon his soul, we can't even imagine this. The human soul of the Lord Jesus Christ had just been shook to its very depths. It's in the midst of this conflict, it's in the midst of this agony that Jesus prays. He begins his prayer with the purpose for which he came forth. Now, the question that I have, of course, as we study this, is what is the concern of his heart? He's going to the cross. He knows he has to suffer. And what is he concerned about? That comes out in verse 1. What does he say in verse 1? "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you." What we have in this text is a glimpse of the counsel of God. In the scriptures and in Reformed theology, there are three covenants that have often been referred to. There was the covenant of works in the Garden of Eden that said, "Do this and live." The covenant of grace was announced after the fall in Genesis 3, that God would provide, God would send a Savior, and that all who believe upon him would be justified by faith alone. But what undergirds that covenant of grace that we see play out throughout history is something that took place in the eternal counsel of God, and we call that the covenant of redemption. And that covenant is the everlasting covenant that the Father made with his Son, that the Son would be sent to die and save and bring many sons to glory. Jesus often referred to this covenant. In Luke chapter 22, he said this in verse 29, "And I bestow a kingdom upon you, just as my Father bestowed one upon me." That word for bestowed is a covenantal word. It's covenantal language. The Father covenanted with me to have a kingdom. Hebrews 10 refers to the same. "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" Now that's where this prayer begins today. "It had pleased the Lord," said Isaiah, "to bruise him, to put him to grief when his soul was made an offering for sin." Christ is saying here, this is where we'll stop today and pick up again tomorrow, "Glorify me that I may glorify you. The hour has come." Jesus is now fulfilling the counsel of God. He has come to lay down his life and to save those given to him by the Father. That's what Jesus says. "I've come. You have given me authority of over all flesh that I should save and give eternal life to as many as you have given me." That means none can be lost, dear listener. You ever thought about that? None can be lost. All of those given by the Father to Jesus, Jesus saved. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.